This is your host, Andy Alleman. I'm the founder of Casa Noon Beauty and WeWe Studio. On the show each week, you're going to get no gatekeeping strategies to build your brand, weekly smart ideas to help you spend more time out of office, and conversations with kind, caring creatives making an impact and life-changing money. We are rewriting the rules of business by blending intuitive flow with proven strategies. Welcome to The Unschool. Hey, it's Andy. Welcome back to the show. This episode today is actually a little bit of a reverse. I am actually being interviewed in this episode, and I'm being interviewed by Jaden of the Rave Social podcast. So we are re-airing a part of an episode that aired over on Jaden's show. And let me tell you a little bit about this conversation and why we decided, hey, let's bring this over onto the Unschool and share this conversation here. Jaden and I are discussing AI in small businesses and how it can be leveraged for your business strategy, for productivity, for content creation. We're also talking about the ethical considerations of AI and how to really think about that, especially if human rights and the environment and human oversight of AI is really important to you. We have so many other things on the docket for this conversation, so let's jump right into it. Here is me in conversation with Jaden of the Rave Social podcast. Let's go.
Let's jump into AI. So okay. I know you post a lot about this on Instagram, but how do you see small businesses leveraging AI right now?
I do talk a lot about this on Instagram. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about AI is there's so many things it can do. There's so many types of AI. And sometimes when we talk about AI, people are just assuming it's like ChatGPT is it? Like that is AI. And it is a type of AI. It's a large language model. But you can think about using AI, especially as a small business, in a couple of ways. These are the ways I would use it if you're like, I want to get started, but I'm not quite sure. I would use it as my business strategist. Pretend that this little robot is a robot with high level knowledge around business and use it to help you strategize. That would be one way. You could certainly use it for financial support. So managing your finances as a small business, productivity. What? You could, yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that you're doing like strategy or task oriented things around, there are AI tools for that. And ChatGPT is getting better and better all the time. So for example, in that finance piece, you could take a breakdown, like let's say you've got a summary of the last 6 months of your business. If you have a P&L, great. But if you're not even at a point where you have a P&L at this point, just take a summary snapshot of your sales for the last 6 months. Feed that into ChatGPT, ask it to do an analysis, look at your sales, look at your expenses, make recommendations, resort things, recategorize things. It will do all of those things. So any type of strategy like that, it can do. Productivity hacking, it can help you with customer service, it can help you with your marketing. I really could go on all of the things that it can do. It can help you with your copywriting. Can serve as a proofreader. It can help you with your content strategy, brand recommendations, research, all of those things.
I honestly have never thought of it that way. I mean, I've used AI. I've used ChatGPT. I feel like everyone uses that now. And copy AI. But yeah. I've never thought of it in this way that like it could just be your little like basically business partner.
Yeah, there's a guy that I follow actually. His Instagram handle is Mr. Grateful, and he's definitely an AI expert, and he is doing this whole experiment right now where he's, and I'm using air quotes, he's building a company in public using AI as his, again, air quotes, co-founder. Obviously, AI is not truly his co-founder, but he's treating it that way, where he's like, okay, I want the input from AI in the thinking vein of a co-founder that has these types of expertise. And then when you give AI that assignment that, okay, I want you to think like a strategist, think like a CEO, think like a CFO, come to me with ideas that are in that knowledge realm, it can do a lot of things that you'd be pretty mind blown that it can actually do. Yeah,
I already am mind blown. Is that something that you have to like pay for? Because I honestly just use the free version, but
sure.
What do you think? Do you think people should buy the paid version or the free version's fine?
I think starting with the free version is absolutely fine. And it can do a lot. I was actually talking to one of my mastermind membership gals yesterday, and she was telling me, she's like, okay, I'm ready. I haven't really used it very much yet. I want to like dive in. I want to put together some research and a content strategy. And then I want to outline a course that she's been kind of ideating on. So yeah. I gave her a list of prompts that she could start with on ChatGPT 3.5, which is the free version. And then I also showed her how to use it, those same prompts in Google Gemini, which is Google's free version. You could also use Canva Magic Write, same sort of like level of thinking, or Notions AI. So you could use any of those templates to get really good results. So what we did in that conversation was she was able to pull research. She's a therapist. So she was able to pull research about other therapists in the same realm as her, therapists that were especially finding success in course creation. So we were looking at that, the research around that. Putting together a course outline based on the type of therapy that she does. She was able to map out a 30-day content strategy. And I think our conversation was like a total of 15 minutes. And she had all of that done by using ChatGPT and the free version, the 3.5 version.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I used it a little bit recently for my new course that I'm coming out with. But honestly, I didn't have like a huge strategy behind it. I was just like kind of like toying with it and kind of like giving it some information, asking like, you know, I would just basically plug information and then say like, basically organize this information. And it worked pretty well. I was honestly surprised. I was like, okay. And it didn't even really sound super robotic. Not that I was going to even use the actual copy. I was more to get outlines.
Yeah.
But I was really surprised by that because most of the experience that I've had with AI is like seeing it on Instagram and people using captions straight from ChatGPT, which you can just tell, like it says embark,
ChatGPT. Yeah, a lot. It says embark and it says embrace and it says unleash and it says journey and it uses the exact same emojis every single time.
Yeah. So, and it will throw in some, the other thing is like it will capitalize hashtags. And I'm
which is also weird.
Just like a giving it away.
Everybody knows now. Yeah. So what I would do, and you can do this in the free version. If you are listening to the show right now and you are a girly that is using ChatGPT for your captions, no shame. Go ahead and do it. Get your stuff done. I get it. But this is what you want to do first. You want to set your personalized custom instructions. The way you do that is you get onto ChatGPT, you go down to the little like icon with your picture, click on that, and then there's a section that says custom instructions. You tell it how you want it to talk. And you tell it, like, for example, on mine, it's like, I don't use hashtags. I don't use these types of words. And I've like loaded in some of those words. Please don't ever use these words when you're writing on my behalf. This is the tone of voice I use. This is who I am. I'm a CEO of this type of company. I want to talk in a casual, relatable tone. This is the type of things that I have expertise around. When I put together any sort of social content, this is the number of characters I want to use. This is how I want that content delivered back to me. I want it in table format. I want it with hooks for my intro when we're doing social. I'd give it all of that information. So then if I do want to work on a content plan and I'm like, okay, let's put together a game plan around X launch, like let's just pretend I'm launching something and here's what the launch is, then I get some really good stuff back because it knows how I want it to talk.
Wow. You're blowing my mind. I didn't know you could do that. When you're giving it your tone of voice, are you just telling it like, this is my tone of voice? Or do you have it like read through some things that you've written and come up with that? And then you
could
put it in.
Yeah, you could definitely do both. And it's probably smart to do both. So like, I might say, I want to write in an educational, casual and relatable tone. And I don't use these types of words. if I were wanting to get it really, really right, then I would do that. I would take some existing copy and say, okay, now I'm going to give you some examples of my copy so that you can see what my cadence is and how I structure sentences, et cetera. And then you could also say, you could type into the prompt, ask me any questions that you have around how I like to communicate on my content or in my newsletter or whatever you're writing for. And it will ask you questions if it has them. And then you can say, okay, do you have any more questions? And it will say, no, I'm good. And then you can say, okay, now go ahead and generate the copy.
Wow.
Yeah. Just talk to it like you would an actual assistant that's like sitting in your office with you that's like learning about you.
Yeah. I love that. I'm always like, please, thank you.
Same. Too, I'm like, just in case.
Yeah. I'm like, I just want to make sure that we're all good.
Yeah. Just in case they do take over someday. Just kidding. But let's just be nice. Yeah. JK, like, JK.
JK, that's not going to happen, everyone. I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, we're good. We're okay.
Yeah. That's actually interesting. I feel like that is a hot topic. It was especially hot like around this time last year. I feel like people were like really hot and cold on it on social media. And now it feels like people are leaning in.
But I think that's true. I think that's true. And, you know, like when someone asks me this question, like, don't you think it's just going to like, it's going to destroy the world? Or don't you think it's going to, there's going to be a bust and it's just going to be over? These are all the exact same things people said about the internet. When the internet started, we probably don't remember that because most of us were like really young when that was happening, if we were even alive. But that is what they were saying. What we definitely were not alive for was when the printing press was initially invented and books were being created for the first time. The same exact storyline was happening then where it was like, actually, the printed word is like bad and you're supposed to have all of this stuff committed to memory and you're not supposed to put this on paper. The church was especially against the printing press because it was like, recording some things that you were supposed to have committed to memory as a religious person. And so there was like a lot of question around like, is this good for us as humanity or bad for us as humanity? Same with many technologies. So I certainly have personally a set of like moral codes around how I'm going to use AI. I think a really nice place to look if you're like, I just want to understand a little bit better what the best approach to using this is, and I'm really interested in a more human rights-centered approach to the ethics of AI, is UNESCO.org has a set of principles. They've been studying this and setting these principles way before ChatGPT was a thing. The first time I ever saw these core principles that they had published was in 2018. So this is like way before ChatGPT. People got hot on this topic because of ChatGPT, because all of a sudden there was like this tool that was so readily available. But, you know, some of the core principles are that the way that you should approach using AI is do no harm, be in consideration of people's safety, privacy, be responsible, be transparent, ensure that humans are still in oversight of the robots. Yeah. Think about sustainability when you're using it. Don't do things that are going to be damaging to the environment. You know, all of these things are really important. So that's the same for the internet. There's a lot of bad things that can happen with the internet if we're not staying within our core set of values.
Yeah. I was just thinking of like the dark web, which obviously came around when the internet came around, which is like, obviously that's like really bad. And if you're using or participating in that, like that's not good. And the same thing could happen with AI as well. And I agree with you, using it in like a morally good way. Like I don't really vibe so much with the AI when they are like a person, like they pretend to be like another person.
Yeah, for sure.
Even like the Kendall Jenner thing that happened.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's a little weird.
Yeah, but I agree. I'm totally with you on that. If it's like impersonating someone and you don't know it, that is not okay.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, why are we doing that.
Yeah.
I definitely think there are like boundaries to it, but just like literally anything else, like you were saying, always. Even when print came out, like you didn't want to maybe print a news article that's incorrect or like sending out false information, you know, it's like, it's always going to be a thing. And I also think what's interesting is like, as I've used AI, I've noticed like how much it needs me.
Totally. It does. I'm like,
you can't function without me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in future, when someone asks me questions like, well, don't you think it's going to take everybody's jobs? I actually think that the better you are at understanding how to work with AI, the better opportunity you're going to have a better job, because the AI can do a lot of the tasks that will elevate your thinking, because it can do the stuff that like you don't have to think so much about. And I think about in my own business, we're a small business. I have two team members that are on payroll, and then we have a couple of contractors, and we can do so much more using AI, which means I can hire more people because we can make more sales because we have the technology.
Such a good point.
To move faster. I mean, I personally, if as someone who has a business, WeWe Studio, which is my education company, and is building the beauty brand Casa Noon, I want my copywriters, my marketing people, my social strategists for the beauty brand, especially, to know how to use AI to be able to get their stuff done faster so we can be more creative, so we can be more community oriented and spend less time on like the little minutia stuff and instead spend more time doing the things that really matter.
Yeah. And the things you love doing, like,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe you don't love writing a newsletter. I don't really love it. And so it's like, if I could find a way to add that into my workflow for an AI thing, it would be great because I could free up that time to do more podcasts or whatever I like doing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like in my newsletter, we have a roundup of interesting, cool things happening amongst entrepreneurial women on the internet. And so rather than me needing to go and like scour TikTok and a bunch of Substacks and like kind of like get bogged down in that, I can now go onto ChatGPT and say, hey, I want to talk about these topics in my newsletter today. Can you give me some links back of things trending in this particular conversation? And it can go and do that roundup of research for me. So I'm spending a little less time just like doing a scroll or like doing a deep dive, digging through things to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. I love that. AI is so powerful. You've honestly given me a really new perspective on it and like ways that I can use it in my business. I feel like that's going to be so helpful for everyone listening too, like just leveraging that so you can do more of what you love, which actually is kind of funny because we also want to talk about human design, which is like the opposite of AI in a way. So I'm a generator. Mm-hmm. And why don't you tell us like a little about human design and kind of like what it has to do with your job, how you use it for your job.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's like so the opposite. It's like AI is the future and then human design is the ancient technology. But I love both of those things. And I think looking into ancient technologies and things that can help us to understand ourselves better help us to improve upon our creativity and our imagination. And then they help us to be better in the future. So I love a combination of those things. But human design specifically, if you're not familiar with it, it is a combination of some ancient technologies like astrology, the I Ching, Kabbalah, genetic coding. It's a science, but it is definitely on the like woo side of the science scale. It'll tell you a lot about yourself and how you move through the world energetically, how you best make decisions, what your highest gifts and talents are, how you might best relate to other people and have relationships. So it says so much just about who we are. I love using it in business because it tells us all of those things. And we're very programmed to do business in one way. We know that historically business has been like you go to the office Monday through Friday, you work from 9 to 5 and you need to take a lunch somewhere and there. And so even if you're working for yourself. And in my community, a lot of us are out of office people. We're like working in all around the world. We're digital nomads, or we work really distinct styles of like roles where we're not necessarily at a desk all day, but we're still programmed that there's like a specific way you're supposed to work. And the reality is we're not all meant to work that way. Some of us are going to have our creative energies really showing up for us at specific times of day, or we can only be like highly creative and really energized for a couple of hours a day before we need to go recharge. We're all different. And so human design can tell us a lot about which style of work is best for us, what our energy around work is going to look like, what our highest gifts and talents will be, how we best communicate. And so when you use AI, no, when you use human design, AI can maybe tell you those things someday, but right now human design would be the place to look for that. So when you use human design, you can get all of that information about yourself and then make some really good decisions about how you're going to use your time and energy. And so for you as a generator, I'm a manifesting generator, you're a generator. It's really, really similar. We have a lot of the same energy centers activated in our body. So for us, we're known for our sustainable energy, and we really thrive when we're doing things that really light us up. And so if we can be in a place in our the way that we work where we're inviting our passions in and the things that we're excited about, and then paying attention to what's going on in the world, and then making a decision to respond to the things that we feel are really calling to us, then we're just going to feel good. We're going to feel lit up. We're going to feel energized to do our thing. And we're going to feel a call to explore. We're going to feel that our spontaneous energy is giving us more energy. And so that's a really nice thing to know about ourselves. What you can also then pay attention to is if you're feeling burnt out, then it's a direct correlation to you're doing the things that are actually not for you. And so while we all experience burnout, for a manifesting generator or a generator like you and me, if we're getting burnt out, that means we were really doing the wrong thing. It was not for us, because it's hard for us to run out of energy. And we will do that if we're like on the wrong path.
Wow, that is so cool. I don't know tons about human design, but I have like gotten into it a little bit. Like I've listened to different podcasts about it and things like that. And like I have my chart and whatever. I basically have just learned from like observing and kind of honestly social media. And what I know about being a generator, I don't know if a Manny generator is the same, but like when you're in alignment, you feel very satisfied. And when you're not in alignment, you feel frustrated. And once I figured that out, it was so much easier for me to make moves in my business, because I would be sitting down trying to do bookkeeping and I would be so frustrated, lose all my energy, be like, I'm going to quit. I don't want to do this. And then I was like, oh, I can just outsource bookkeeping.
Yeah, it gives you so much insight into the things that the second you've got the money to do it, those are the things that you outsource. And then that keeps you in alignment to the things that are fun for you. And not all of business is fun, but you can at least start to notice, okay, if I'm completely drained and frustrated when I start handling the bookkeeping, the second I've got some extra cash in the business, that budget's going to getting myself a great bookkeeper so I can stay on the other side of the stuff that I do like to do.
Yeah. And just leaning into what is satisfying. Like you said, business isn't always easy, but I feel like there are things that are satisfying that aren't easy. Or like, you know, they may be easier for me than they are for you because I feel satisfied by it. Like messing around with a spreadsheet. I'm like, for some reason, that's really satisfying. Like I love to do that. And most people would be like, that makes me go insane. And I'm like, I don't know. I just like it.
Yeah.
But it can also be like maybe a dumber task or something like that's not super valuable to the business, but I just like doing it. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you can find, if you dive deeper into your human design chart, you can typically, this is what makes human design so cool. It's so intricate. There are so many layers that as you start to dive deeper, you can start to find those things like, okay, these are some things that I am really great at, like being analytical or being a little bit more interested in like the fine details and the minutiae of the business, but I'm not super interested and the way the resources move in and out, which would be like the financial piece. But I am interested in the analysis of the data of how people found their way to me. You can start to see all of those things in the chart. And then it just gives you this really great validation of, okay, yeah, this is the stuff to go spend some time on. And you're going to get better results that way.
Yeah. How do you feel like your human design plays into like how you show up on social media. So because I am a generator, I do have that like sustained energy. I'm very consistent. I'm very reliable. Like that's who I am. And so to me, like I'm always teaching my audience and my clients, like consistency is like one of the most important things on social media. But for them, like they might be a projector or something. And they're like, I only want to show up when it feels good, which I'm like, in my experience, that's not how it works. How do you like marry those two things?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think social media is one of those places that when we use our human design, it can help us tremendously because social media can be very confronting. It can be something that causes a lot of burnout. It causes comparison. All of these things that, you know, I know you've heard, and I certainly have too, where it's like, if you're not doing this in great alignment to your energetics, it's going to feel hard and it's not going to feel like a good time. So for manifesting generator and a generator, actually for me as a manifesting generator I have lines 1 and 3 in my profile. I have that strategy of being in response mode. That's the same for generators too. And my line 3 is the line of relatability. It's like line 3s are relatable queens. I used to be the type of person that would try to sit down and map out my social plan for like a week or a month at a time. And I would feel frustrated. And I'm like, okay, I need to check myself. I know I'm not in alignment if I feel frustrated. So clearly this doesn't work for me. So what I had to do instead was really look at my chart and think about what would make me feel lit up, what would feel fun for me on social so that my energy comes through that this is something I'm having a great time with versus something that's like a slog. And it was shifting the way that I create content, which is banking all my B-roll. I can do that in one day, but then I don't write my captions, create my hooks or any of that until literally when I decide that it's like the time to post. I post every day. I have time on my calendar.
I'm the same way.
Very generator behavior because you need to be in response mode. So for you, it's like, what's going on in the world around me? What's going on with my community? What am I feeling called to talk about? Same for me. And me having a line 3, that relatability piece, if I try to create that way in advance and I'm not in response and in relatability mode, it just doesn't come through the right way. So when I shifted into doing it that way, now I can be consistent because it's like, I'm just showing up like I would have a conversation like this just on social. And that feels good to me. Now, if I was a projector, my husband, for example, is a 2-6 projector, very different from my energy. And while he still needs to be in some sort of consistency, he's got a record coming out really soon. And we've been having this conversation about what he needs to be planning for, knowing he needs to be on social and very present. But as a projector, he doesn't want to get into overwhelm and comparison. And as a 2-6, 2-6s can be really introverted and quite intuitive, and they're kind of like thinking deeply about how people see them. And so that's going to feel really different. So we're really thinking about for him, it's got to be really high quality content. And he has to really tune out the noise and not get into his head because of what he's consuming. And instead really think about creating something beautiful and moving and reflective of his experience. And that's quite different from what I would tell a 1-3 Manny Jin like myself. So I think all of that is really helpful to know. I definitely see projectors when they go into social media courses or trainings, they're like, oh my God, this was terrible. I was like, I felt like I couldn't keep up. And all of those people with like Manny Jin or generator energy were like running full speed. And I was over here just like thinking about my heart, and it was really hard. And so it's helpful to know that actually as a projector, you still want to have consistency, but you have to really honor your energy levels. And that's just going to look different for you and the way that you put the plan together.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. That's actually so, so helpful because I've wondered that even with my own clients, as I've learned more about human design and just being like, I sometimes don't get it because I'm like, I would just do it. But I know that like, I know that there's nothing wrong with them for not. It's just like figuring out a plan that does feel good and does feel in alignment with them, which is going to look different for them than it is for me.
Yeah. And for generators and manifesting generators, we typically have energy being created from our sacral space, which is that energy of just do it. Projectors do not have that energy. Their strategy is coming from, and their authority is coming from a different place. It's either coming from their emotional home within their body, which is their solar plexus. It might be coming from their instinctual home, which is the spleen on the human design chart. It might be coming from their self center or their mind center. So there's a lot of different places that they're like lit up energy lives. So if you tell them just do it, they're like, oh, but I'm in my head, or just do it, but I'm in my feelings, or just do it, but like instinctually, I don't know that I'm ready. So like they have to work through that before they can get into just do it vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. I love that. I wonder how many, and now I need to know, like, what are all my clients? What are you guys? I need to know. But how do you feel about human design and like hiring out a team? Like, is that something that you pay attention to? Like, I'm wondering if I wouldn't work well with a projector maybe, or if I would work well with them, you know, like do,
the
what
cool
does that look
thing
like?
Is if you are working with people who have a different energetic makeup from you, they are going to think about things and bring things to the table that you're not considering, which I love.
Wow, because it's
So the projectors can see really deeply into things. So if I were thinking about community building and I had someone on my team who is a projector, they're going to be able to see deeply into the general feeling of the collective of people in the community. And whereas I may be just kind of like rolling through, like, here's my big vision for it, and here's what I want us to get up to, and these are the things that I'm planning, they can like feel into what's going on in a way that I may not. So that's like a really cool way to use a projector's gifts and talents and their energetic makeup, because they can feel that. Now, if I told them, okay, now we're going to sit down and do like a 4-hour power hour or power session, they may say that feels painful because I need to work in like 2-hour spurts. So I just have to like think about that the way we work might be a little different. And maybe if we are going to do like 4-hour strategy day, then we need to like plan a nice little like walk around the block in the middle for them to recharge and feel like they're not burning out halfway through. So you just start to know those things about the people that you're collaborating with or working with or that are on your team or your clients. And it's going to get you just better alignment, better results by really honoring everyone's different way of being.
Yeah, I love that too. I don't know if this is a generator thing, a Capricorn thing, or just a me thing, but I also sometimes get in this thing of like, there's only one way, which is like,
for
just,
sure.
Like logically, I know that's not true, but sometimes I'll slip into that. And it does sound really awesome to have someone on your team or in your space that can be like, actually, there's a different way. That could also be awesome because it would just snap me right out of that.
Sure. Okay. So is Capricorn your sun sign?
Yeah. And my rise. I'm a Capricorn sun and rising and a Scorpio moon. Something to do with that.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm a Capricorn rising. And so we have a lot of that same energetic makeup where it's like, it's very much CEO, get things done. Mm-hmm. Let's think about how we create momentum quickly. On my team, my director of marketing and operations, she's got Virgo and Libra energy, which I feel like is the perfect mix for that role because she's got the organizational flow of a Virgo, but then she sees things in a really beautiful way like a Libra does. So she's able to like really do both operations and marketing in a way that my Capricorn CEO vibe appreciates because of the level of detail and beauty that she puts into things.
Wow. Imagine like if we all really lived in alignment and worked these jobs that were in alignment with us, like the world would be so much, it's already beautiful, but it would be so much more beautiful because everyone would just be like thriving. I feel like so many people just do jobs because it makes money, or they slip into a job and then they never leave it. And it's like really not in alignment with who they are. So they're just like miserable.
It's so true. It's so true. And then when you like learn these things about each other, you just honor and respect each other's way and with a really different approach. Like my Capricornness means for me, I can get really stuck in the masculine. And
me too.
A big practice for me has been to really give myself space to lean into my divine feminine energy, into my intuition. Because when I do that, I have really beautiful creative ideas, but I can get stuck on the other side of things where I'm like, okay, let's talk about sales. Let's talk about, you know, all the stuff we got to get done. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh wait, I had no space for magic and flow. And I've got to create that structure for myself to let that time happen for me.
Yeah. To let that time be free. So you can do that. I'm very, very similar. I'm very structured, very like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, why am I like this? But it's just who I am. And same, like I have to really intentionally go into my feminine or like allow myself. Yeah. And I do have like reality checks where I'll be like, oh, okay, I'm being like way too logistical about this. Maybe it just needs to flow. Maybe I just need to not try to control it and just let it go. Yeah. And honestly, that's where like the magic always does happen. But I tend to lean into that more like ordered way.
Yep. Yeah. I'm so the same. I feel that, sister.
Awesome. Okay. I feel like this is actually a great segue into content strategy because we're talking about human design and kind of how you show up on social media. We talked a little about this, but let's talk a little more about like content strategy specifically. Obviously, you've grown your account really awesomely. And how have you done that? How long did it take? When did you kind of start to see movement there?
Yeah. So I'm one of those people that's been on Instagram for a really long time. And I am kind of that elder millennial vibe that loved aesthetic Instagram back in the day. Yeah. I loved like curating a grid and I loved telling stories through lovely photos and, you know, got like the fancy cameras back in like 2015 when it was like very much about how you were taking pictures. So I grew pretty quickly on Instagram in the early days. And so probably like coming into like 2018, 2019, I had like 40,000-ish followers. But then everything completely stalled, like fully stalled because things were starting to shift. And at that time, reels were not a thing yet. But there was definitely like this movement towards more of a storytelling approach to Instagram. And I was over here like running a business, working as a consultant. I was running my blog, doing a lot of creative direction work at that time. I had not yet established WeWe Studio as a company, but I was doing a lot of consulting work. And I wasn't really infusing any of the things I was doing into my business on Instagram. I was purely using Instagram as like this sweet place for like my lifestyle content. So 2018, 2019, things like stall out. 2020, 2021, I'm like, it's all dead. It's not a thing. I'll just like keep posting, but like whatever. And then I had this like realization in the last probably like year where I was like, I'm just not being strategic here. I am really smart at business. I'm a great marketer. I know how to do these things. And yet I'm not doing it for myself on my page. And I think by about that time, I was probably at like, maybe like 45, 50,000 followers on like the best day. And so I took like a hard look at the style of content I was creating. And I looked at what I do in my business. And by that point, I had launched WeWe Studio as a education company for female founders, for people in some very specific industries. We have a lot of people in the beauty industry, a lot of people in creative industries, a lot of people in the wellness space. And I was like, I'm not talking to them on Instagram at all. Like, what am I doing? This strategy is not it. So last year I made that big pivot and my account shifted completely. And I wouldn't say it happened overnight, but once I got strategic, because I already understood the visual aesthetic of how to run a page and because I do know how to tell story. And I am someone who has a really good understanding of who my client is, who my people are. Once I got strategic, it happened fast. And I remember the first month that I was like, okay, I have a strategy now, and it's going to be an all reels strategy right now. And it's going to be a lot of storytelling and using my manifesting generator 1-3 energy. It's going to be a lot of how-to style content. I really treat my page now as a how-to library.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. I love
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And so that was the shift in strategy, was treat this like a how-to library for your perfect people, for your perfect client. And within like that first month, I think I had grown maybe 10,000 followers in 1 month from making that pivot. And then very quickly, it just kept moving the needle because I took that approach. And so consistency is definitely a part of it. And I have been very consistent as I've been using like my natural energetics to like create my strategy. But then the other piece is I'm using like some basic things like marketing 101, which is catch people's attention quickly. So I'm thinking about how I use visual hooks and caption hooks to get attention to stop the scroll. I'm thinking about how I'm visually laying things out still like I always did back in the day, but in a new way where it's like, okay, how am I visually creating a signature style that looks like me? So when people see my post, they know it's me right away.
You absolutely have that. You have that so down so well. And I love how you've taken it from the grid, which honestly, it doesn't really matter that much anymore. It's a thing, but not really. And you've applied that to your real strategy.
Yeah.
I honestly have never really been an aesthetics person. And so my grid was always something that like stressed me out. I was like, I am never going to be that girl. you're just not going to catch me doing that. But I did the same thing with like my reels, where all of my B-roll looks so similar that people just know that
they know it's you.
It's me. Yeah. And I love that so much. Yeah. So when you started into that new strategy with just reels, were you posting a reel every single day?
Yeah, and I really still am. And I occasionally take a day or two off. It certainly happens sometimes. But I set up for myself and my community a challenge that we're just like always participating in. And then I sometimes do other creators' challenges too, because I just find it fun to like
get,
you know,
I love to do it.
Like, it's so fun. Right. So I have a girlfriend who runs like a creator community that I'm in. And when she does one, I'm like, okay, I'm going to play and I'll be doing hers and mine at the same time. But I love that because I think like gamifying social for ourselves also makes it a little bit more fun. It's like, okay, here's my challenge for today. How am I going to answer the challenge? And what can I talk about that would fit into the challenge language? And then because I already have all that B-roll saved, it's just really easy to do that. And it is easy to then post something every day or show up every day. And I think it's important because it's my business and it matters. So I do want to show up to my business and promote my business in some way every day.
That's beautiful, because a lot of people have a hard time with mindset on social media. I'm sure you get this all the time, but people are like, I hate it. I hate showing up. My content never performs. Like, there's just so much like negativity around it, but I just disagree with that. And I think if you have that energy behind your posting, like, everyone's going to know that you don't want to do it. It's just so obvious. Like, and you're not going to see the growth that you want to see. But if you can make it fun, if you can make it a game, if you can marry the posting whatever I want with following a strategy, if you can find that overlap, that's where you start to see actual success. And when your reel flops, you're not like deeply offended, because you're like, this is just part of the process.
Yeah. And then you just go and you take a look at it, analyze like what didn't I do here to make this get the result that I know that I'm capable of? And then you just rework it. And it's like, then you're just all good. It's like a different, it stops becoming so about it. While it is about you, it's not about you then.
No, exactly.
It's just about the strategy.
It's just about the strategy. And also like, it's not about you. It's about your audience. And I think that's such a big reframe, is just being like, not taking things so personally because it's not about you. It's for your audience. And if it didn't hit with your audience, like, that's all good. We're just going to try again. And like, the good thing about a reel not hitting or a piece of content not hitting is like, not that many people saw it. So like, you can absolutely redo it again. Yep. Nobody's going to remember because they didn't even see it the first time. So like, just keep trying. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you're saying, you know, this thing about it's about your audience, that is, it's such an important point. And I think like where we sometimes get stuck, and I don't know that I have like fully flushed this out, but I think like something that's happened is we learned how to show up on social by watching influencers and celebrities do it first. So they're like, okay, I'm going to show up and I'm going to talk about myself. And they got big results doing that. And then they got more followers the more they showed parts of themselves. And so there's this whole narrative around like, you just got to be you and show yourself. And I think there's something to that that's helped us to like get comfortable doing that. But then the part that they're not having to do, because they're not a business person, they are literally selling their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And for most of us, we're not selling our lifestyle might be a part of our marketing, but it is not ultimately the thing that's going to move the needle to get a customer or a client to understand that you are for them and have the solution for them.
Yeah.
So the part that we miss is that piece around it's actually content for them. And so what you have to be creating is a connection and a resonance so that they see that you truly understand them.
Yes. And I think people are getting smarter, like consumers are getting smarter and smarter about this, about not buying into someone's lifestyle because they've been either burned or they realize like, just because like, this person has that lifestyle doesn't even mean that's the lifestyle I want. For a long time, we were being sold like you need to own designer bags, like all this like wealth, luxury, which is great. Everyone I think does want that. Like most people want that, like wealth and security and financial success. But they realize like it's more than that. Maybe it's freedom that I want actually. Maybe it's the opportunity to like take time off work that I actually want, not just having a huge savings account or whatever it is. Like I think that they're shifting what they want because of what we've seen in the past from influencers and celebrities. And I think influencers are even like changing that up too. They're giving people more because they are selling their lifestyle and people aren't buying that lifestyle anymore. They are selling more of like, actually, here's some behind the scenes. Like what you don't know is actually all these other things, which I love actually. I personally love that.
For sure. I think that's so true. And so when we show up to create content, especially as small business owners, female founders, creatives, and we think about how we can relate and connect, those little moments of our lifestyle can certainly be a part of it, but it isn't the only part of it to get really great results.
Yeah. I love that so much. Okay. I do have one major question for you. Mm-hmm. And it is, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
If I could give a piece of advice to my younger self, it would be to... Oh my God, there's like so many things. I had one thing in mind and now I'm like, actually, I would say none of those boys are worth it because they probably, they weren't. But what I would also say is you are so worth it. And so the things that you should be in pursuit of are all those things that are in your heart and all those big dreams that you have because you're so worthy of all of those things and those boys aren't. So they're not worthy of you. That's what I would tell her. Now, anybody that's listening is going to be like, this girl's crazy. What? But that's what I would tell her.
No, I actually love that because I do think we all struggle, like, I don't know, with just being in the moment and being like, I am worthy of this. I am worthy of being valued or loved or like, I'm worthy of success in my business. Yeah. It can just feel like you're never, like, why would I deserve this? Why would I deserve something good? Yeah. Which you just are deserving inherently. Like, you are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the things. I have a lot of younger women in my community and I host retreats. And so I get to travel with them sometimes. And like half the time they're like about to break up with the boyfriend. And I'm like, just dump him. He's not worthy of you. I'm actually just sure of it. Just go ahead.
You're like, you're considering it.
Go
it's
ahead.
Over.
Yeah. you're way too good for this nonsense. And I don't even know their stories yet, but I'm just like projecting what I pretty much know to be true based on my own experience.
No, for real. If you're wondering, maybe it's not good. But, yeah. Oh, actually, you should tell us a little bit about that. So you're headed to Mallorca, which we yeah. might, this episode might come out after that, but you have other retreats like that, right?
Yeah. So I've been hosting retreats for like 5 or 6 years and just a really great way to hang out with other women that are of a similar mindset and vibe and that are working on their business and life and content and just, you know, overall strategy for living. And so we go to really cool destinations. This year. So we're going to Mallorca really soon. Last year we went to Bali and then we did a Palm Springs retreat. We've done Joshua Tree and New Orleans and Tulum, Mexico. So yeah, I do them every once in a while. So you can just kind of go check out the website and we post where we're going. And they're always small and intimate and really just sweet, sweet experiences. It's not over-programmed. It's like, come hang out and just like make your business besties and or meet that. Your business besties. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Because community is everything. Honestly, it sounds so cringe to say that, but it's so, so true. The people that I've met online and in real life through my business are some of my favorite people I've ever met. Yeah. And they're just so supportive. Like they're in it with you. So
yeah,
I don't know. I've just found so much value in that. And then you also have a mastermind, right?
Yeah. So our mastermind is a mastermind membership. So it's rolling open.
Oh,
you can join anytime. We just shifted to the membership model. And I love it because it means you can come in exactly at the moment that you're ready. I'm also a person who doesn't like to be in launch mode all the time for many, many reasons. Just, I think it's nice to be just open and available. It can be harder from a sales perspective at the beginning, but then as you get going, I find that to be a really great way to invite people in and have them join where they're at. So yeah. Our mastermind membership, it's called the Smart Girls Mastermind Membership. It's a content and offer strategy membership. So we're working on content creation plus your offers within your business. And it is, we meet, we have live lab sessions once a week. And then we're just doing a lot of like done with you support style work inside the community. Everybody can talk to each other, share their masterclasses or their webinars or their eBooks or whatever they're creating and give lots of feedback and advice and support.
Yeah.
And I just find it's a really great place for business-minded women to come and bring their work together and then get my support, my team's support, and the care and connection of each other as well.
Thank you so much for being here today. If you need a reminder, I want to let you know, Out of Office Club and the Smart Girls Mastermind membership have open doors for enrollment. Come on and join the club. Or if you're interested in having a conversation about the mastermind membership, send a note over and we will get you set up for a business strategy conversation to see if it's right for you. It is an investment. I want to make sure it's right for you. And my team and I love having those chats to help you make a decision on which program is the best fit for you. If you have not yet saved this show in your Apple Pods or your Spotify, do me a big favor and go take a look at the app that you are listening to this show on right now. There's some sort of save or follow button. Go ahead and click that button. It will ensure that this show is downloaded right to you each week. And it helps us a ton with getting in good with the algorithm over in the podcast worlds. With that, we're complete. If this episode has been helpful to you and you think it might be helpful to a friend, perhaps send it their way or give us a shout on social and let us know that you've loved this episode. I'll see you again next week. Until then, be well.